Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, this is Tim Stafford with the Stevie Anderson Radio Show right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And we are excited to be with you today, Monday, the 20th of January, 7 p.m. Eastern. And I think we finally found our home here on Monday nights on the Blog Talk Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern. This is a good time for us, and it's a good time for Stevie. And I know that it's a great time for our listeners because it's the beginning of the week. And what a great way to start off your week than by talking about issues that are a part of everyday life and things that can inspire you to become a better you. And that's really what the Stevie Anderson Radio Show is all about. If you want to call in and be a part of our show, you can certainly do that. You can call at 323-417-6724, 323-417-6724. Just be patient with us. Sometimes it takes a couple of minutes for us. You know, we're kind of long-winded on this show, so it takes us a couple of minutes to get you in. And but we will get you in, and we try to answer every call before the show is over. So just go ahead and call in and hang tight, and I'll get you in as soon as I can. And, Stevie, today is a special day as we are celebrating Martin Luther King Jr., you know, celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. and his impact on our lives. And I know that you have some things to say about that, so I don't want to leave. I don't want to take any more time but to toss it to you.
Okay, how's your day going? Your night going, Tim? It's going pretty good.
It's going great. We are experiencing great weather here in Florida, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it also. I really am. But let me get into this today. We have a lot to talk about, so I really want to talk about football in a sense, but I guess it didn't turn out the way I expected. But Denver is there, so we have to go from there and see. But if you're listening, definitely I think Seattle – I don't know. We're not going to talk about that right now. I'm going to leave it alone. Okay, Tim, this is where we go. Let's go. You know, today, I'm going to leave it alone right now. But today, it is a very, very special day. Honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., I'm going to say something brief. Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., occupation was a civil rights activist, Baptist minister, birthday January 15th, 1929. Death date, April 4th, 1968. Born in Atlanta, Georgia. Place of death, Memphis, Tennessee. Best known for social activists who led the civil rights movement in the United States from the mid-1950s until his death by assassination in 1968. Remembrance of Dr. Martin Luther King, I would like to say that today is a special day honoring Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., who paved the way for so many. He believed in fairness and equality for all. He believed in nonviolence. He stood before the world to share his dream that all brothers and sisters of the world unite, regardless of their skin color. He believed in the positive. He considered racism and segregation to be against God's will. His dream was not accepted by all. He was ridiculed, spit on, arrested, imprisoned, and assassinated. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. was a true man. It's funny that we're talking about that tonight. To which so many of us men today cannot understand what a real man he was. I personally would like to thank God for having him be the man he was to bringing us thus far, to paving the way for so many people. Nevertheless, we must keep striving as a people to do better, to have fairness and equality for all. I just wanted to get into that, Tim, and just give my thoughts of it. And it's something that we're talking about men, and all of a sudden it fell on his birthday because we had to continue it because it was just so much in there that we want to talk about in, from the last show. But you're talking about a real man. He was. We talked briefly about fearlessness, courage, and strength. And there you go. And yeah. So many of us today out here, we just don't have that. And now some of us will never, ever get it. But I think last time we talked, Tim, we talked about the definition of a man. And I'm going to give you a definition. I'm going to give you, I want you to go ahead. The definition of a man, it says adult human being, and this is something we actually talked about briefly last week, a man or boy who shows the qualities such as strength and courage that men are traditionally supposed to have. And we have a biblical definition of a man. You go to Jeremiah 5th chapter, 1st verse, it says, a good man is one who is careful in his dealings with others. A good man is committed to seeking the truth. And Tim, I'm going to draw some traits of some pros and cons, basically, that I think, and you may want to touch on that. But I'm going to go with the pros right now, and then we'll go to the cons. The pros, I say, good-centered. God-centered, honest, trustworthy, selfless, basically putting others first, around good people, behaves respectfully, and genuine, true. And you go to the cons, self-centered, or selfish, dishonest, untrustworthy, wrong crowd of people hanging around, disrespectful, and disingenuous. Basically, it's just false. What do you think, Sam?
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of things in life dress up and play the part of something else, but they're actually a counterfeit to what is real. So, for instance, mm-hmm. in the definition of a man, you know, we think that, and this is what's so great about Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Mm-hmm. King, was that, you know, Dr. King proved that you didn't have to dress up in a violent costume in order to be a person with courage. You know, you didn't have to dress up in a costume that made others feel less so that you could be higher. You didn't have to dress up in a costume of a certain color in order to be acceptable. And I think those things are important because when we're talking about defining who a man is, or what a man is, or, you know, we got to look at the fact that so many of us, we tend to dress up in a way that we think makes us look and feel strong and powerful. But the most powerful people that we've ever known, Dr. King being one of them, they weren't violent. They weren't over the top. They weren't loud for the sake of being loud. They were just true to not only themselves, but they were true to the things that God called them to do. And I think that's pretty important. I think a lot of people miss that in life because what happens is they, you know, they're too afraid that they're going to be insignificant. But your significance is not based on what you do or how many times you get something right. Your significance is the fact that you are genuine and you are authentic. And I think authenticity, I love that word that you use there, that authenticity, being genuine, that's what a real man is. Somebody who can say, hey, you know what? I haven't always done everything right, and I haven't always done everything I should have done, but I'm willing to admit that, and I was willing to grow anyway. And I think that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You got to understand that you're not going to find a perfect man. But you want to have the traits. And genuine, when you find a genuine man, uses a good man. Because of fairness, if you have fairness, they have fairness and genuine kind of run together. That means that you're going to be fair. When you're fair, you're right. You're true. It's going to eat you up if you're not true. But that's the way it is. And our listeners, for us, you know, you have some mothers out there right now. Like I said, I was blessed to have my dad still living, have a mother and father, and I had great neighbors. I said I can never, to the day of death, if I was to die tonight, still, I was blessed to have those parents basically as neighbors. And each one of my parents, there was both a mother and father, both sides of me and across the street, but basically both sides of me, where I grew up at. But for some mothers out there, you know, so much a mother can teach a son, Tim, growing up to be a man. There's some things that they cannot see and cannot figure out how they're changing. You know, he has to learn how to be a man, and some mothers probably want to keep him or hold on to him because they don't want him to change, but that's just the way God made us. When you're growing up, I mean, and you're trying to figure out if a man, if it's a woman, you can't be hold him. You got to kind of let him go to keep himself around role model men. It can be from their own father, if they had a father. Someone with good character, of course. Have to care and basically a leader, of course, fairness, as we talked about, the leader of a family, or how to honor a wife or mother. That's very important for our young men out there, because you have so many young men today not respecting their mom, and a lot of times females don't understand, like, what am I doing wrong? And a lot of females, unfortunately, may have lost their son, a husband or their father of a child in an accident or anything, and that some out there just probably just don't want the man around, period. However it works, still that boy is going to be changing into a man. Some may want to just be males, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but most of them want to become a man. And how you get that is, like, even if there's neighbors, it's a man figured as a neighbor, uncles, older brothers, male teachers, This actually gives that boy, the young boy, some sense, even the strength, give him direction, basically, to becoming a man. And I'm going to, like, bring into a little bit, we're talking about a mother raising a son. You can't think like a man. You know, there's this famous guy out there. I don't call his name, but many of us probably, they know who he is. He says, act like a woman and think like a man. That's not possible. And I think that's one of the most, I don't know why someone would say that to a female. Act like a woman and think like a man. Now, there are some women out there can think like some males, that choose not to be or not happy because they're in a male's body. But you can't think like a man. You understand what I'm saying, Tim?
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And to some degree, I agree with you in the sense that, you know, men and women are very different, and they see the world very differently. And I know that I've been married 20 years, you know, and the way my wife sees the world is completely different than the way that I see it, and I have benefited from her view of the world. But I don't have to think like her in order to benefit from her view of the world. So, in other words, what I mean is, sometimes my wife has pointed out things to me, and this is just an example of what you're saying. Sometimes my wife has taught me things about by the way that she sees the world. And I've learned from that, and I've become a better man because of it. But it isn't because I've learned to think like her. It's because I've learned to see things differently, but I still see them as a man. I didn't change and see them as my wife. I saw what my wife saw, but I still interpreted that. I filtered it through the fact that I was a man. And so it was important for me, and I grew up, Stevie, I grew up in a single mom household. And I did, I mean, I know my dad. I have contact with my dad today. And so I had the benefit of having him around. But I always sought out men. My family, my mom and dad had a lot of problems, and they had a lot of issues. And so I always sought out men who could help me, you know, become a man that would make a difference, that would live a different life than my parents would, in the sense that I didn't want to have, I didn't want to end up being a statistic and finding myself in the same predicament they were in. So I've always had that. And, you know, that's it. And I've had a lot of women along the way that have taught me a lot. But there's always been something for me. There's always been something for me that I could call. I have a mentor. His name is Doug. I've had him for years and years. And I can always call him and say, you know what? I don't think I'm seeing this right, or I don't understand what's going on, or I can't figure out what I'm supposed to do next, or whatever it is. And there's that man that can see the world like a man and can understand my dilemma and see that. And, you know, that's not to say, listen, I don't think, certainly, I know you well enough to know that that's certainly not to say that women who are out there right now that are raising children, you guys are, you deserve an incredible extra 2 or 3 dozen jewels in your crown when you get to heaven. Because I'm telling you, it would not be easy to raise children as a single mom. But we cannot, I cannot emphasize enough how important it is for boys to have relationships with men, because the world as a man is a different world, and we have to see that world differently. And I think that's really important. Hopefully I've reflected what you meant by what you said.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're not the same. We're meant to complement each other, you know, and God made women different for a reason.
Right.
I mean, you cannot act like a woman and think like a man.
Right.
You know, the senses are different, like you're saying. God carved us differently, but we're made to fit. You know, we're like a puzzle piece, basically. But I was going to say, too, there was times when I was around the house, my mom was living, I'd come home and she would say things, I would listen to her. I learned so much from my mom, I really did. There's things that young boys need to listen to, of course. But don't be afraid to let that boy loose to be around. But when you let him loose, though, of course, too, you have to get him around someone close that you see as positive. Just drop him off. Mm-hmm. Let the boy go wreck the yard for the man. Let him do the chores at the man's house. Keep him around him, because when a young boy grows around a man, it's just certain things that he just get wired right. His wiring is so it's just together.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, but we're gonna get back. I want to mention that for our mothers out there, and because you know, we that's very important. It's crucial because you see today out there, they don't understand. A lot of them don't understand. Just basically the things that's actually reared into becoming a man. They don't see it. It's not about going around and walking with your pants below you down and thinking that's a show. No, that's not that. Just disrespectful people, not talking to them, knocking people out, hitting people on the streets for no reason. You don't know who they are. I mean, I thank God the way where I grew up in my environment with the people I had over me, the support system with the parents, neighbors, and even the boys I grew up with. You know, it's just, I thank God for that. I really do. You know,
well,
yeah,
we have a caller.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead. Okay.
Let's get our caller in.
Okay.
Let's see, here it comes. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Stevie Anderson. What's your name?
Hello, is this for me?
Yeah, this is for you. Are you on the air with Stevie?
I'm sorry.
What's
hi, how are you? So my name is Andrea.
Good.
And so I was listening to the conversation, which was really interesting. I have a boy, and he just turned 9, and after having raised 2 girls, the differences are just, you know, night and day. So I could relate to what you're saying as far as just letting boys be boys and kind of allowing them to be in different environments around different people where they can kind of be themselves and kind of grow, and you nurture that part of them that's very much instinctive to want to do something. I notice my son is always wanting to do something. If you give him something to do, and especially if you kind of make it just a little bit of a challenge, you know, he just seems to thrive on that. But as far as the topic, if it's about, you know, kind of what makes a man, as a woman, my perspective is honesty and motivation. I think if a man has the ability to be honest with himself, you know, maybe not necessarily, we always don't want to open up to other people, and that's understandable about, you know, keeping your privacy and not necessarily sharing everything. But I think if a man can be honest with himself, have the ability to self-correct, you know, in those moments of honesty, see where he's weak in some areas and address those. And then also if he's motivated, he will want to be better, he'll want to do better, not only for himself but for his family. And that just kind of naturally carries over from who he is as an individual, and then, of course, as it becomes part of a family unit, kind of setting the vision in the direction for the family. And so I'll just listen to what you all have to say and respond.
So basically, Andrew, you're saying that you actually like the motivation of a man. You want him to, basically through life, you want him to just don't sit down in life. Just be content, in a sense. You want to always have a drive, a motivation to keep the spirit,
right.
Keep the spirit going.
Right. Always have a drive. Always have a determination. You know, kind of set the direction for what he wants for himself and for his family. I think a lot of times with men especially, I don't know if they know this, but for women, we kind of look to them, whether it's thought to be antiquated or not, but we still look to men to kind of set that standard. And someone who is being directional about what they want, then acting in a purposeful way, and is seeing different opportunities for not only himself and maybe his family, and it's something that we thrive upon. Myself, I'm the type of person, I can't speak for all women, where I may not necessarily know the best choice, but if you give me a choice and say, okay, this is what we've decided to do, I can give you a zillion different ways of how to accomplish that. And so what, you know, me and my husband do is essentially we kind of take it as a micro perspective. He can see things a little better on the overall level, where I may be better at kind of figuring out, well, how do we get from point A to point B to point C? So we try to work together as far as approaching those types of challenges. And it seems to work really well because it does go back to your comment about complementing each other. You know, it's not that I'm doing his job. It's not that he's doing my job, so to speak. Is that we're kind of taking our strength and we're putting my strength with his strength, and we're using those different perspectives of seeing the same issue just from a different, you know, point of view, and figuring out the best way to approach things. So.
Okay. Tim, you have any comments you want to?
Yeah, I think it's great. And Andrea, I mean, you have a great outlook on this thing as far as marriage is concerned. It's one that, you're right, is not as contemporary as some would have it, but the truth is what you're describing is actually the environment that men thrive in, They thrive in an environment where they can lead, but at the same time they have somebody who is a partner with them. I know my wife and I, my wife is like you, it sounds like that. I tend to be kind of a 10,000-foot person. She is very much about the details. And I know the first 5 years we were married, that was pretty tough because I just wanted to stay in the clouds. And she pretty much, it felt like, that we were enemies at times because it just felt like everything I wanted to do, she had a reason or something that could go wrong. Well, about 15 years later, so now 20 years I've been married, I have found that, man, without that, I can't succeed. And so it doesn't make any difference. And so there is a complementary piece of that that's important. And at the same time, if I wasn't thinking ahead and being the visionary that I've been created to be, then my wife wouldn't find the security she needs in that either. So we really, it is not that one, and I like what you said, it's really not that one has a job that the other one does. Or it's really more that we are, a marriage is a making of two people into one. We have aligned ourselves together in such a way that we're much more powerful together. And so I think that's great. And I'm glad that you and your husband are doing that. And I will concur that I have a son and a daughter, and they could not be more different. I mean, it is incredible how different they are. And yet, they're very special in and of themselves. And they have, you can see for either one of them the future that could be for them. They're positive. So I think that's really great.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Andre, we really do. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're listening.
Oh, no. I just was going to add that me too, as far as the comment about things being kind of a little difficult in the first couple of years. What I had to learn is that, because it sounded like naysaying to my husband whenever he would say something, and I would just kind of start nitpicking at those details. What I realized, it wasn't really nitpicking, it's kind of more of devil's advocate. And so I just had to learn how to change my language up a little bit, and instead of saying, reasons why we shouldn't, and directing it more towards, him as though it was something personal, just kind of, talk it back and say, well, I see what you're saying, but have we thought about doing it this way? And then just providing a little more reasoning behind it. And that started to tail off, but it definitely, the first couple of years as well, that communication and kind of understanding that we were both, both on the same side, and just kind of understanding that we really weren't trying to go at each other and argue with each other, but just kind of learning how better to communicate. It did take some time to work out.
Well,
we really appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much. And we know it's been encouraged for so many listeners out there. And thank you for expressing your thoughts and just giving it to us straight up. That's what we wanted. I wish you best of luck in your marriage, and thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. I enjoyed it.
All right. Enjoy your night. Bye-bye. Tim, it's...
Uh-huh.
Yes, and that's... that's fairness, too, of a wife right there, you see.
Right.
That's the traits that's on the female side. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to let the listeners know what we're going to talk about the next week. But, Tim, before, she gave us, it was just so genuine. What she was saying. And then, too, we talked about the puzzle piece. I mentioned that. And I think I mentioned the last show is that it's the rhythm. Whoever you're dealing with, relationship, going toward a marriage or not, whoever you're dealing with, the rhythm has to be there. the rhythm's not there, you're not going to make the right music. And you're a musician, you know best. But that's just the way it is. I didn't finish about the, we're talking about the moms with the young boys.
Yeah.
Moms that actually, there's moms out there too, Tim, I probably, that want to hold on to their boys, and some moms say, okay, I'm going to let them go and be able to change into a man. And I'm going to say this briefly, we're going to go, but make sure for your moms out there to keep the boys in chores. And I know Tim and I, we can relate to this, we were growing up. But chores, giving the boys chores, it gives them confidence. And that's what the little boys going into young men need. They need confidence. Group activities, if they're in the band, if they're playing even an aggressive sport like football, however, in the sports period, band, they could be into art class. It doesn't matter. Some group activities, and this is my opinion, Tim, but then you start seeing the boys coming home and they start having a voice for themselves. They'll be able to stand up and have their opinion. You know, learning to shovel the snow if they're up north. If they're down south, learn how to rake the yard. If they're out west, rake the gravel. Go out there and sweep the driveway. Just a little things like that, little boys going to men, you'll see the change. And because boys, you have to keep them doing things. You got to keep them occupied. If you don't keep boys occupied going to young men, they're going to go off track. They will go off track. Tim, I had a listener, one of the listeners from last week, commented on my Facebook. And she mentioned that she was saying the question she wants to know, being a male and a man are different. That's a comment she made. So she said being a male and a man is a difference.
Right. Right.
And I would say that. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say that's about that is truthful as someone saying being a biological father, or a biological donor, and being a father are the same thing. They're not. Any man can help create children, but it takes. I mean, any male can help create children, but it takes a special man to be a father. And I think it's the same. I think that goes along the same line of what she's saying. But what the listener was saying was that, obviously we're born into this world and we can be so male, we can just be so just kind of biologically just existing. I'm a male and I'm going through life and I'm not really producing anything and I'm not really doing anything.
Right.
And I just kind of do whatever I want to do. And I see women as basically just objects of my own pleasure and need, and so I just do that. Well, that's just absolutely—that's not being a man. That's just being biologically male, and you're just doing your thing. And frankly, most house cats are more productive than that. It just is. I would agree with her that there are a lot of people who. They just their excuse is that they're male. Well, that's no excuse not to be a man.
Let me ask you a question. You said something about you said there's some males out there to consider women as physical objects.
Mm-hmm.
You said less of a man. Do you think all men should be married? And I said maybe that's something
no.
come up because we're talking about men, but. Okay, so.
Right.
Okay, all right. So, I guess. Some men out there. There is a process, and I think when the men are traveling, they're moving around, they find a girlfriend, and if it doesn't work out, that doesn't mean they're less of a man. And
right.
But sometimes a female will say, well, he's less of a man because the puzzle didn't fit. It's all about the puzzle in life. That's just my thing. I think whoever, like I said, you're dealing with, you got to have that rhythm, okay? And the rhythm there, you can go on through life and then get to your stage as a marriage stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what I see, because I can't talk about marriage because I'm not married.
Right.
But
well, here's
I sit back and I listen and I observe.
Sure.
Gee.
Well, here's the thing. I think that, I mean, even you know, I think that there, I have met many men in my life who were good men. They had courage. They had great fulfillment in life. They were of great caliber, high caliber people. I mean, we're talking very high production, very good people. And they were never married. It just didn't, the rhythm of their life just did not include that. And I think there are people like that. And I don't consider them any less of a man because they weren't married.
They had traits. They had some traits of a man, but not a fulfillment of certain men, but they have some traits. But you're not going to get a perfect man. You're not going to get a perfect female. But
right.
I think it's like either you want 20%, I want 50%, 75%, or you want 90%. You won't get 100%. But I think if you get some of the traits out of a man, I think that's what someone could be. Just no, you're not going to get 100% of a man or female. You're not. God didn't make us that way. God made us together to work things out and to have some agreements, have some disagreements, and to communicate while we're here on this earth. But I would say, too, back to what the one of the comments on the Facebook, being a male and a man, how different. Before you were born, like you were basically saying, it's physically determined if you are male or female. However, it's only through your upbringing, experiences, and influences by a man that instills a male to become a man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, you have some males out there, you know, they don't want to take the responsibility of being a man. Basically, what you were saying a while ago, some males don't want, they're just in a male body, figure, but they choose to be something different, or there's some out there that don't want to, like you say, don't want to have responsibilities, and they don't want to learn the responsibilities, they want to just be in their own world. But it's up for the female to choose, the female to choose what she wants. If she wants 20% of him, if she wants 50%, 75, or 90. And I just thought about that, and I wanted to let basically the comment on Facebook, I wanted to kind of break that down to her. And it is a difference between male and a man. It's the traits. It goes back to the traits. There are senses. There are certain senses that a man has, that some males, if they're not reared at youth or been around real men, that they can't pick up. There's certain senses. You know, you can. There's a reason that they have. When you go in a restaurant, you have a female just put herself behind, basically, up back to the door. Now, maybe some females out there right now are like, oh, whatever. But, no, this is true. They did study and testing this years ago. And there's a reason why a man's supposed to be looking at the door. If someone come in there shooting, and you've been around reared up, it's something that God put in a man that you're going to basically cover that female. It's just an instinct, or just say, get down, just watch it, be calm. Versus a female, she's going to scream because it's like, what's going on? You hear a loud sound, you're going to scream. But that goes back to instruments as a young boy in school, to sports. You're around loud noise. You're around the humans going off loud and all of a sudden it come down. You're around it all the time. Some females understand that. Some females understand what I'm talking about is athletic females, but it still is different than a man. And I think, and I know for a fact, Tim, is that the traits of a man that we've discussed, that makes you man. At the end of the day, you won't have, you can't get 100% out of a man. You won't get all 100% of him. But if you have some of the basic traits, going with your life, work it out together, mm-hmm. and you have some rhythm there.
Right.
In life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would agree. Totally.
Yeah.
And that's why when people get married, the first 5 years is tough because you're finding that rhythm. And my advice to those that might be listening to this show, that maybe they're 5 years in, maybe they're 10 years in, they're just having trouble finding that rhythm, don't give up, because the reality is you'll find it, but a lot of times you have to be willing to make some changes. I mean, listen to what Andrea said earlier, our caller. She said that, early on, she had to realize that if she had to realize as just being herself, she wasn't saying that her husband didn't realize something, because I'm sure he did. I'm sure if he were on the phone, he would be saying, I learned something too. But she said, I just realized that the way I had to communicate with him was different than the way I was doing it. Okay, well, you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so I figured it out. That kind of movement to the middle of a relationship like that is what's so important. It's when you dig in. This is what men are good at. We're good at digging in our heels and saying, I'm going to be right. And we have to learn how to do that too. When we're willing to move toward the middle of the relationship and say, you know what, I don't see things the way that you do, but I appreciate who you are, and I want to be able to work this out with you, and I want to be able to make you feel comfortable in this relationship. That is very, very important. Here's a really good example, Stevie. My wife, one of the things that she had such a hard time with when I'd asked her to marry me was she had grown up in a culture, because she's a pastor's daughter. She had grown up in a culture where women, basically, the women that she had grown up around, basically became almost, it's not that they weren't important, they were important to the pastors and the men that, but these men were very, they were strong leaders, they were very strong people, they had strong leadership positions in churches, and so the wife kind of faded into the background to some degree. And I'm not suggesting that the men didn't love their wives, I'm not saying that, I'm just saying that from my wife's perspective of being a young girl growing up in that, she saw that these women just kind of lost their identity to the point that, they would even take their husband's name and all of that, And what I mean by taking the husband's name is that they would just become Mrs. Reverend Bob Johnson or whatever, And so it was kind of like she was really concerned about that. And so she told me, she said, I don't want to lose who I am just because I got married. And you know what? What's funny about that, CD, is that for 20 years, I have done everything I can to make sure that that's not true, that she has an identity. That we're equal together. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows we're on the same team. And I just think that to me is one of the important things about being a man in a relationship is to say, hey, you know what? I got to make sure that I understand where my partner is, what's going on with her, and how she sees. I've got to become a student of the world as she sees it, just because that just shows her that I care about who she is. Even though I don't think like her, I can still, believe who she is. And I can champion that, and I can celebrate it. And I think that's really, really important.
Yes, it's very important, Tim. It's very, very important. You're absolutely right. And I was going to say, Tim, is that I'm going to read this in a second. I was just sitting here thinking what you said. I would say, Tim, I've learned a lot of good things from some of the great things from my mom. And just when you travel from even just, even when I travel, I was doing the other show, the modeling deal with the other show, from females. That was my first time being around a lot of females all the time, just traveling. And I traveled for going on, I think, probably about 5 years of travel. I traveled the United States, and I was just me and a few of the guys and with these models, and they just talk and have discussion. I learned a lot that I didn't know. And as men, we can never get to the point that we don't want to listen to another gender. You need to listen. It don't hurt to listen and pull your guard down just to listen. Just listen and just kind of get her insight and see what she's saying. But also, we have that volume now as a man that we need to turn up to be a man also. That's just something that's within us. That's what God created, that men, that females don't know. Again, like I say, you can't think like a man. You know, you can't act like a woman, think like a man, because there's just, God created us different. Sorry, it's the way it is. I'll say basically Jesus was the ideal perfect man when he was on earth. He is what all men aspire and try to be, at least most of us that believe in God, of course, we want to try to be. There are no perfect 10 men, but we keep trying, we keep praying, we keep communicating, we keep getting back on track when we're off track. And we can't be afraid, we talked about this, of, and it's spoken in the Bible, seeking the truth and basically asking other men for advice or even help when we need it. And this is men, and this is what keeps us as a man, we have to do. And for females, you won't get a perfect 10. But, you know, I don't know who would want a 20%, but or 50, but 70, 90%, that's just the best you're going to get in a man. That's all you're going to get. God didn't make the only perfect 10 man I know, you know, was God, period. But we just won't have it. I mean, long as doing this show, if you can get some of the traits and you feed off the traits and listen to the traits of a man, and we hope that this show actually you could see better and choosing who you'd like to be the man for you. And Tim, you kind of want to, do you want to kind of discuss, and for your listeners, we're going to actually go into next week, and Tim and I were speaking. We want to go in, since we just left off, we ended up with the definition of a man. And I say again, hopefully this was so extremely helpful to so many people out there and young boys that was listening, and that can go back to mothers and give to young boys and listen to this show to help them to get on the right track. And the worst thing in life is getting off track, or you're driving and you just lost. You don't have no direction where you're going. You can have MapQuest and get lost in some places. And when you get lost, you're going to have to. Don't be afraid to seek for help. Don't be too stubborn like some men are. We are stubborn. There again, that's why you cannot think like a man. We are stubborn. We were built that way. Am I wrong, Tim?
You're not wrong.
Okay, we're different. But also, too, having that man that would sit down with you and discuss and talk and not be so much of a man not to listen to advice and have direction. And that's what our young men need to learn as they grow up. And don't be afraid to let them loose with your uncles. A guy across the street that you consider a good man, could be a married man, whatever, let him go there and do some work, because these young boys will get loose and they got control, and they'll even hurt their own loved ones physically. That's where that man around, that man will keep them in order. And Tim, I know could say this, they would hit you, knock you, you know, straighten you up and tell you, say, wait a minute, stop, what are you doing? To get them on the right track.
Right.
But our next show, Tim, we're going to discuss what's the definition of a woman? And we want our call to call in and give us your thoughts. I think that'd be a great show, Tim. Do you want to touch up on anything we said about the definition of a man, Tim?
No, I think we covered it pretty well. I would just say that, you know, that a man is known, you know, by his integrity. And I think what we've really spoken to on this show and last week's show is that integrity is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to gain. It's a really easy thing to lose. And I think that you just have to, you know, continually look at yourself honestly as a man and just say, you know what, I can always be better. And then formulate, start to, you know, talk to others. And I think you're exactly right. Most men like to, you know, they don't like to fail. And so they don't like to admit that they're having problems. But the truth is, your greatest growth will be in failure. Your greatest growth will be in failure. And so, you know, and I would say that to moms, too. You know, if you're a mom out there and you've got a kid, or you've got a boy, you know, it's okay for that boy to fail. Okay. It's okay for them to skin their knees. It's okay for them to fall down. Life as a man is about falling down and skinning your knees and learning how to get back up. And I think a lot of times we want to protect our sons to the point that we don't let them fall down. And they have to fall down. They have to learn how to do that. Or they're not going to survive in the world of men. So they have to learn how to fall down. I mean, this last weekend, Stevie, we saw a lot of men fall down. I mean, Super Bowl,
absolutely.
The championships, there's a whole lot of men that fell down. And what I love about it is there's a guy on the 49ers. I don't remember his name, but he took a pretty massive injury to his knee. I mean, it was pretty bad. And today, of course, they were talking about how he's torn his ACL. But, you know, what's funny about that is that what they said, which really goes to what I'm speaking of, is they said, well, you know, he's got a long road, but he's already talking about how he's going to be back for next season. See, that's the world that men live in. It's a world of falling down. Sometimes you fall down so hard, you really do some damage, but you get back up. And I think, and if anyone showed us that, it was Jesus himself who, you know, fell down many times, not morally, not in any way like that, but, you know, he suffered a lot of persecution, and he got back up, and he got back up over and over again. And I think that's really important for us as men. It's not that we can't fall down. It's how we get back up. And most of the time, to get back up is going to take the help of somebody else, and we just have to be okay with that because that's what's going to make us better in the end. So that's the only thing I would have to say as we close up the show.
Yes, absolutely. That's getting right to the point, Tim. It really is. And like I said, that's just the difference. And, you know, I think definitely know we hopefully we've answered some questions for a lot of females out there today about a man. Like I said, you won't get a 10. But as long as there's traits in there that fit you and you feel like you can live and be happy with, that's what it's about. But I enjoyed the show, Tim. It was a great topic, I think. Yes, it was. And like I said, again, I hope so many of us out there learned from this topic today, tonight. And we're going to let them know. The next topic, we're going to go with what's the definition of a woman. We'll get started next Monday at 7 p.m.
All right. That's all the time we
have.
Enjoy
your night, Tim.
All right. That's all the time we have for this edition of the Stevie Anderson Radio Show. Join us next week, same time, Monday night, at 7 o'clock Eastern. We're going to take this call because we're talking about the definition for a woman and a lot of other things. So, make sure to join us next week. Have a wonderful week. And make sure to pick us up on Facebook. Stevie Anderson Radio Show, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Network.